This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by MapHook. Listen to the end of the show for details on how you could win $60.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
The Morning Stream. Cutting through the poop 4 days a week. Ew.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream, episode 2 of The Morning Stream for January 25th, 2011. This is the official Frog Pants morning show. We have a full chat room. We have all sorts of things happening today. And of course, we have with us in the booth, Mr. Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you today?
I'm fine. Did I even introduce myself? Did I tell anyone who I am?
You're Scott Johnson.
Well, yeah, duh. Duh. I hope they've got that figured out. You doing all right? We made you sleep in there last night.
I know. It was. It's funny because if I would have known that I would have been sleeping in here, I actually would have made it a little bit longer. So I kind of had to sleep propped up against one of the sides. But you know what? It was not bad.
Slipped you a little beef jerky under the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a fruit roll up. I got to thank whoever sent the fruit roll up.
Yeah. And the
only thin food. Thanks.
And that gum tape. We had to feed that under there. Thin foods could be
bubble,
fed.
Bubble roller tape. Yes, it was the dish.
They still make that, by the way. My 10-year-old begs for it, and I think he's too old for bubble tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I think there should be a sort of moratorium or an age restriction.
Like an age limit? It's like the big league chew. You can't really do big league chew if you're over 10.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
You still have big league chew.
They do, and I bought some big league chew about 2 weeks ago. Because as a kid, it was forbidden. Like, my parents, my mother specifically, would not allow big league chew to be chewed big league or otherwise in the house. And mm-hmm. So I had this compunction to go get it and rebel, which I did a few times as a kid. And I would, you know, I'd show up at home and I'd have the bag. Look what I got, Mom. I'm like a man over here chewing my bubble gum like a, you know.
Would you tuck it under your lower lip?
No, I didn't. But I always felt like the big league chew people missed an opportunity not to release a version that was like the Bandits, you know, the Skull Bandits.
Right, like you'd be chewing gum in a little tea bag.
Yeah, but something about the size of like a little fruit snack. You just stick it between your cheek and gum. That'd probably give you as much cancer as the freaking real stuff does.
That's the real stuff, exactly. I can't imagine it would taste very good either.
So 2 weeks ago, I see it at a gas station, some nasty ass gas station, and I thought, I'm going to buy a bag of this and chew it. It's really bad gum. Like as kids, you don't care. I mean, well, you'll eat pizza with urine on it for all you, because you don't know. You don't care. It's better than whatever vegetables your mom's trying to force down your throat. So you don't care. Big League Chew is the same, you know, no matter where you go. But when you get to be an adult and you go try the stuff, I am not kidding. It's like acrid, freaking, I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. It's really bad. The flavor lasts about 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And for the rest of the time, you feel like you're chewing something Phillips Petroleum made up to help protect beaches from oil spills or something. It's really bad.
You know what I kind of miss is the I didn't buy baseball cards. I used to get, you know, this would be no surprise to anybody, like Marvel Comics trading cards and wacky packages and stuff like that.
Sure.
And when the gum in there gets all dried out, so that as soon as you pop it in your mouth, it either breaks down into powder or into shards.
Yeah.
Bubblegum shards. I actually kind of miss that stuff.
That little strip of pink that came in the cards.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, the things we used to make kids do. Do they even have that now? I don't even know if they have the gum part now, but they still have the cards, you know.
Oh yeah, baseball cards, yep.
Stuff is still big. I was into the Star Wars cards. I had the whole collection of Star Wars cards. They were awesome.
Do you have the rare C-3PO?
No, there was a rare C-3PO. Well, maybe I did and I just didn't know it.
Oh, well, I'll have to send you a picture sometime.
Okay. You have that too.
No. That one is apparently it's either an urban myth or it's a joke card that somebody put out, but it had a C-3PO that was much like the snowman that we described yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With a unit on it.
With a unit, yes.
Sweet. Robot penis. That's my favorite. Great
band.
How
long did it take us to get into 6 minutes?
That's amazing. So a quick mention of, was I just going to tell you? Crap, there was something.
Our sponsor probably, right?
Well, that, but there was something before that, and I can't remember what the hell it was. Oh, I know. I was going to, now it's going to be stupid, but I'll say it anyway. Little known fact, Star Wars collectible cards, the gum in there was Wookiee flavored. But I'm bummed. All right. Moving on. Quick mention. I failed to do this yesterday, and I meant to. Gnome Wise, who's in our chat room and is been a fan of stuff and a friend of the show, is providing the streaming Shoutcast server at vtwproductions.com. So for those of you listening over the Shoutcast stream via your iPhones or whatever you're doing this on, he is deserves full credit, and want to thank him for his help and his donation of that server and bandwidth for the morning stream. So wanted to get that out before I got too far into the show today. So thank you, GnomeWise, for your help. Also, a little bit of business. On Thursday, we have a segment that I think will be weekly called Therapy Thursdays with Wendy Dunford. My sister, Wendy, her last name's Dunford because she married out of the Johnson name, because that's important to do. Mm-hmm. She's heir to the Dunford Bakery fortune. No, not really. Almost, but it's
is
long.
Is there really a Dunford Bakery?
There is. There's a Dunford Bakery here in Utah, and it's spread out some regionally, but it's huge and well thought of, and the donuts are amazing and all that. She actually came within a hair's distance of being truly the heir to that fortune, but it's a long, ugly story that I could tell sometime. Anyway, Wendy's going to come on. She is a professional therapist. She deals a lot with addiction and how that affects families and stuff. I've asked her to come on and do like a quick 15 minutes a week on Thursdays, Therapy Thursdays, and take calls from people worried about their Warcraft addictions or their actual black tar heroin addiction or whatever it is you people out there in La La Land may have.
That's so cool. So we're going to help people, really?
We're actually going to help people. Not hypothetically, like that other dumb show I do at Terpster. This is real help. And Wendy's quite the pro. Some people may have heard her on Forecast a couple of weeks ago, and she was great. She makes me
suck
look good.
Suck that, Terpster.
Take that, big T. Or actually, little T. Anyway, and then just quickly, I got a massage yesterday. Just want to mention this story real quick. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law, keeping it in the family out here, my sister-in-law, Sarah, is an amazing masseuse. She's really, really good. She's a Kim's sister. And she gave me a really good massage, one that I totally needed. But occasionally when you get one of those, your body's filled with like death after. Mm-hmm. Because your muscles went, and everything in them just got mushed around, right? Mm-hmm. I am in pain today.
Result. Lots of water. You got to flush all that stuff out.
I feel like a gang of Crips found me in an alley and beat the hell out of me and took my wallet. But Sarah, if you're listening, at the time it was happening, it was amazing. And I'm sure if we do this more often, it'll be fine. So anyway, should we do news?
Let's do some news.
Let's get into the news. And chat room, welcome. Good to have all of you here. Thank you guys for your great support over the last couple of days. It has been overwhelming, to say the least. And so we'll dedicate today's news to you. Today's news is also brought to you by The Instance Podcast, starring myself and Randy Jordan. Airs weekly. It's the World of Warcraft. It's everything in WoW and everything outside of WoW. Join me and Randy every week for another dose of The Instance. That's at theinstance.net or search iTunes for The Instance. Terrorist bombing in Moscow killed 35 people, dude. This makes me sad. So I have this clock in my head that is always going, when is the next big attack or the next big high profile attack? Mm-hmm. And I am not so naive to know or to not know that attacks are happening constantly around the world, terrorist related or otherwise. I mean, I know stuff happens all the time. There was a shooting here in Salt Lake yesterday. There, you know, stuff, terrible things are happening in this world constantly because we all suck. So I understand that, but occasionally something will become a little higher profile. 9/11 is an obvious one. The shoe bomber guy was an obvious one. Mm-hmm. The stuff in London, the subway stuff was bad. I can't breathe. this just happened yesterday. Terrorists detonated a bomb at Moscow's busiest airport on Monday, killing 35 people and wounding 152. This according to Russian authorities. President Dmitry Medvedev. Medvedev? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is Medvedev. It sounds like a company that makes biotech, whatever. Anyway, he called the bombing a terrorist attack, ordered additional security at airports and transportation hubs around the country. The Moscow police went on high alert in case of additional bombs. Since this, it has been determined that it was a suicide bomber. I think they determined she was female. And they think it was an internal thing, meaning not like an Al-Qaeda thing or a other country pissed at Russia thing. It was a fellow Russian angry at Russia kind of thing internally.
Yeah, because usually you have a group that claims responsibility for it right away if it is an outside group.
Usually, yeah. And I don't know if anyone, and I haven't checked this morning, but this may have changed, but I don't think anybody's claimed responsibility. Honestly, it could just be one crazy person. You never know. That's what I hate about this stuff. That's the problem with terrorism. You don't know who the hell, I mean, it could just be anything.
Yeah.
It could be this Loughner guy in Arizona working completely on his own, you know, ridiculous brain. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, you know, some group. So I don't know. It's frustrating. Speaking of that douche, Loughner pleads not guilty in the attack while he grinned and laughed. This guy's such a douche, dude.
The guy is a freak, too. I mean, the photos that they keep showing on the news.
Yeah, his mugshot alone incites fear in all of us.
Very creepy.
Jared Loughner spent only a few minutes in federal court Monday, long enough to basically give a not guilty plea and a closer look at the only suspect in a shooting rampage that killed 6 people and injured 13 on January 8th in Tucson. He's 22 and at times scrunched his face and at other times laughed openly at his defense attorney, Judy Clark, and assistant U.S. Attorney Wallace Klendenstitznitz, as they discussed the case at a brief arraignment hearing. Douche. He's a douche. Mm-hmm. He's worse than a douche. This guy's terrible. And look, they have video of him doing it. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
It's just kind of an open and shut case. I'm grateful we have due process in this country and we don't just take people out back and shoot them like Time Cop. Remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. They didn't do any kind of anything, but they just dropped him back in 1921 and had him fall from a building. But in this case, we're doing the right thing, but you know he's guilty. You know this guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's going for the insanity thing. I mean, you know, that's what it is. I mean, he's going to say not guilty due to reasons of insanity. And obviously, I mean, the guy is unbalanced.
Oh, yeah.
But, I sometimes think that they exaggerate it to the point where it gets them off scot-free. Or not scot-free, but certainly.
Well, the press has some responsibility in that. You know what I mean? Like, they mm-hmm. can't. If they make him out to be a supernatural, freaking, you know, out of his mind, complete nut, they do have the potential of tarnishing any sort of unbiased jury trial that would see him for what he is, which is really kind of a mean, just kind of a dick mm-hmm. with some bad ideas and you know, I don't know. I see this guy and I just want to jump through the screen and tear his face off.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wore an orange jumpsuit. His wrists were cuffed to belly chains. I bring that up because I didn't realize there was such a thing as belly chains. But there are.
You see the girls wear them all night at the raves. their half shirts and their belly chains.
Sucking on the pacifiers.
That's right, in the glow sticks.
Yeah. What is the pacifier thing? Is that because there's like ecstasy on those things or something, or acid or whatever?
You know, I have no idea. That's a whole counterculture that I'm thankfully not part of.
Not really in my purview.
I saw a 14-year-old girl in a Target sucking on a pacifier, though. I thought that was a little unusual.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I just want to smack it out of her mouth.
I really did want to.
Go to school. Little turd. Oh my gosh, if my 13-year-old did that, she would be, ooh, I'd be so mad. I freaking hate stuff like that. Anyway, moving on to other things I hate. Actually, I don't hate this. The Pope blesses social networks. Who is my neighbor in this new world, says the Pope. This is great. So the Pope, you know, occasionally, I talked about this a little bit yesterday on Forecast, but the Pope occasionally will come out and say, you know, give a stance that the Catholic Church has on a particular subject of social, you know, significance. And in this case, he's talking about social networking, you know, Facebook, Twitter, that kind of stuff. And I'm guessing there are, look, I'm not a Catholic. I have some Catholic friends, but I do not claim to have a super working knowledge of Catholic protocol. But I'm guessing there are Catholic faithful out there who are sitting around going, oh, this brave new world of the Facebook and of the Twitter and of the, you know, the internet. This just is, I don't know. What should I do? What would the Pope say? And he got up and said, this stuff is okay. You are able to use it. It is not a problem. Jawohl.
He's Colonel Klink all of a sudden.
Nine. Schnell. Anyway. So apparently the interweaving of religion and science in papal utterances is becoming bizarrely Dune-like. He says, quote, the new technologies are contributing greatly to our preparations. What?
Yeah. Okay, now I'll say that one in the German accent.
The new technologies, they are contributing greatly to our preparations.
Perfect.
That's my Pope. Ever tell you about the offense I caused when I did a cartoon called Pope on or Soap on a Pope?
No.
And it was just an old man with a huge hat, you know, a Pope.
Yeah.
No, not one in particular. It was around the time John Paul II or whatever was the Pope. Uh-huh. And hanging off his hat was a big, thick, tied rope with a big, big bar of soap on the other end. I got in trouble for that. People were mad.
Really?
Yeah, it was an internet thing. You know how the internet is.
I'm sure Sinead O'Connor tore up a picture of it. Was she a fan? Well, I guess.
I wonder how many people, like last night, this came up. We were talking about, we were watching The Best of Chris Farley on Netflix with the kids.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because they love, you know, Chris Farley makes my 10-year-old just laugh himself to death. Mm-hmm. And so we're watching all this stuff, but they're bringing up a lot of cultural references like El Nino and that's more of a meteorological reference, but other stuff like Cher, like who the hell is Cher? My kids don't know any of these people, like none of this stuff just from, you know, early 90s SNL is completely lost on my kids.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get it. They're like, what's that, Dad? And I'm like, oh, I can't explain it. What's Mike Myers talking about now? I don't know. Who's Mike Myers is one of them said. I'm like, oh, my gosh. We need more Austin Powers movies. What's going on?
It is that whole generational thing. And we find that a lot of the stuff that we watched Lost Boys recently. And there's a whole bunch of references in there to MTV, which, you know, is a whole different thing now. And we talked about that yesterday. But there's other references in there I'm trying to remember, but MTV seemed to be the biggest one that we had to explain to Tristan. All right, well, it used to be this thing.
They used to have some significance. And we used to care about it.
That's right. But I certainly don't want to turn this into another MTV rant.
Well, it's funny because I thought the same thing. By the way, we're talking about our next Film Sack movie this week. This Friday airs our discussion of Lost Boys Special Edition. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Film Sack fan, you're listening to this show, go watch that. It's actually kind of holds up.
Yeah, it does.
It's pretty good. Anyway, moving on to the 50 most loathsome Americans of 2010. I actually found this in our forums. This was a big conversation piece in our forums the other day, and I thought this was kind of interesting. So somebody's made this list, specifically somebody named Murphy. Mm. Posted this back on the 19th. He basically lays out the 50 most egregious American stupids for last year. I'll just give you a couple of them here, like Paula Deen, the cooking lady.
Yes.
She made number 50 and has the worst looking illustration I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, but yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Deep fries everything.
Right. She says, here are the charges. This is how they break it down. They say charges, the AQ con of the culinary world. Her secret recipes are demonstrably more dangerous to America than a nuclear armed North Korea. I almost George Bushed on you. When not delighting delusional hicks on Huckabee, she's cooking. She's cooking up culinary clogging treats like the Luther, a bacon topped cheeseburger served between two glazed donuts. Whose purported inventor, Luther Vandross, suffered from diabetes, and died of a massive heart explosion. Make no mistake, this insane evangelical pumpkin face is trying to send you to the arms of Jesus. Aggravating factor, quote, I'm going to start with my normal ingredient, y'all, one stick of butter, unquote.
Ugh.
Here's her sentence, steamed and served over a healthy bed of greens. Anyway, yes. So it goes on. There's Rick Sanchez, Kim Kardashian, blah, blah, blah. And these are all very, very funny. Let's jump ahead because
I was going to say who are in the top five.
Let's do top five if I could actually get there without.
While you're scrolling.
Yeah.
There's a place here in Denver called The Hole, which is a donut shop, a 24-hour donut shop that also serves alcohol in the evenings. Well, I guess they probably serve alcohol all day long. But they have a bunch of different donut recipes, donut sandwiches, things like that. And I have tried a, basically it's like an Egg McMuffin made with a donut sliced in half with egg and bacon in between.
Sounds terrible. Is it like a glazed donut? Like a regular donut?
It's a glazed donut. Yeah.
Oh, foul.
And it's,
was it good?
It was good, but it was damn rich. I couldn't finish the whole thing. It was like, and it was a small thing. I mean, it was like, you know, regular sized donut. So it wasn't huge, but, no, it was a little too much.
You know what joke I like to do in donut shops?
What's that?
I order an order, like a small order of donut holes. You know how they give you just the.
Yep.
And the conceit there is that these are, this is what came from where the hole in the donut is, right? That's the idea. I always do. My wife freaking hates this. I'll get it. We'll get back to the what little table we're at or something like that, because it's usually hot chocolate or something or whatever. And I'll sit down and I'll go, and they're always big, like great big, you know, donut holes. And I'll go, I'd like to see the donuts these used to be a hole in or something like that, real loud, just to like irritate people. Kind of like when a waitress comes by and you're eating like ribs, and you take those ribs and you smush them up on your face.
Oh yeah, so you got like sauce,
yeah,
all
over your face. Yeah. And then when the waitress comes, you kind of just get really up in her face and stare at her and go, "Could I have some wet naps? You have some wet naps here," just to drive the help crazy. Anyway, I do that occasionally. Nice. Number five on this list is Don Blankenship, the coal baron. Don't know who that is. Hmm. Apparently, he's a jerk. Number four, Justice Alito, Kennedy, Robert, Scalia, and Thomas. So this guy, I think he might be a little left-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, David J. Lesser, Halliburton CEO. That guy's kind of a douche for reasons I won't go into. Number two, David and Charles land filthy Koch. With noxious liars. These two are the filthiest. And it goes on. And then you. Number one is you, Brian. Not you, but us.
Specifically. Like
collectively. So right. Chat room, it's all of you. Charges your
the
brain.
Royal you.
Says, charges, your brain has been cobbled together over millions of years of blind evolution, and it shows. You're clumsy, stupid, weak, and motivated by the basest of urges. Your MO is both grotesquely selfish and unquestionably deferential to questionable authority. You're not in control of your life. You wear your ignorance like a badge of honor and gleefully submit to oppression. It goes on and on. He kind of loses me here, but anyway.
Yeah.
Here are the
looking for Justin Bieber or Charlie Sheen. Or
yeah, Sheen would have been great. Aggravating factors, it says about us, the careers of Rush Limbaugh, Oprah Winfrey, John Stossel, and Justin Bieber. Oh, there you go. And the success of The Secret, Medium the Show, and Atlas Shrugged, the election of Rand Paul, the existence of Kentucky, Texas, and the Sarah Palin's Alaska Show. Sentence, bad teeth, and an affinity for afternoon tea, and the guilt plague nostalgic physique or psyche of a fallen empire. Wow. Guy's pretty harsh.
Yeah, he's a cheerful guy.
Yeah, he's written and illustrated by Ian Murphy, and suck on that, everyone. I found it kind of entertaining. Some of that stuff's pretty funny. I don't agree with number one. All right, moving on. I got this clip to play. So Rush Limbaugh, speaking of which, say what you want. The guy is basically at his core an entertainer. Unfortunately, the Republican Party has decided he's also some sort of spokesman or coach or leader or something, which is really too bad because I think that that's a mistake. I thought he was hilarious in the bits. I haven't seen the entire episode, but the bits I've seen on his Family Guy episode where he guest starred were outrageously funny. And it kind of proved to me that he's tongue in cheek in everything he does. So I don't really see Rush as much of a douche. I just see Rush as playing off of people thinking he's a douche or other people worshiping him. Uh-huh. And he's just a very successful radio guy. It's really what it all comes down to. Anyway, I get a lot of crap for doing the ding pong voice all the time. And you know how that is.
Oh, yeah. I've heard the ire.
Well, as it turns out, our friend Rush Limbaugh did, he was talking about the Russian premier coming over here and talking to a bunch of people, and the translation was difficult to hear. So he says this on his radio show. You got to hear this. This is great.
Hu Jintao, he was speaking, and they weren't translating. They normally, you know, some translator, a couple of words, but Hu Jintao was just going ching chong ching chong 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 ching chong ching ba 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 chong 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 ching 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 ching.
Nobody was translating.
Okay. And he goes on. There's more after his break and all that, where he goes back and does it some more and does all these other Chinese voices. And I think you just can't take him too seriously. Like, people are flipping out about this.
Yeah.
Racism and just, you know, this weird. Everyone's accusing him of just having no idea that the rest of the world exists, that other languages are viable, that, you know, all of that. And that may, I mean, there may be the truth, all that. I hear that and I just go, okay, dude, freaking whatever, man. You're playing. I just felt like he's just playing everybody, but it made me laugh.
I actually would really like to hear someone from another country do the same thing with us, you know, do an English. I'd love to hear what another country thinks we sound like, or, you know, does the stereotypical American sound.
Yeah, I would like that. In fact, if any of you are foreigners in a foreign land, or our, that is to say our chat room, and I know a bunch of you are, a lot of you have really good schedules for when this show airs, when it goes live. So if you're in that chat room and you would like to Skype or call us, you can call us at 801-770-4244. I don't know what that means for international calls, but that's 801-770-4244. You can also Skype us at My Extra Life. Just send a Skype. You don't have to do the accept me as a friend thing or any of that. Just call it in and let us know how we sound to you.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I won't be offended. I think if anything, I'll find it amusing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should. We got to laugh at ourselves.
Unless they're specifically doing me.
We already have a call.
This is Brian from Coverville.
We have a call already. Looks like it's from Richard. Richard, you're on the morning stream. Good morning. Oh, and we lost him. Durka, durka, dur. All right. He hung up. I don't know why. Anyway, we'll wait for those calls.
Because he was about to imitate me. I told him not to.
That was trouble. In the meantime, brisk trade for eels and snails in North Korea. Looks like maybe a way to dig themselves out. This story comes to us from Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe from The Instance, sent this yesterday. And I could not pass up talking about it. This is according to Reuters. Not everyone is reclusive in North Korea and is finding life tough. Take the mud snail and eel farmers. They are doing a brisk trade. Apparently, there are more than 150 facilities for mud snail raising, and they were built in the South Hangwangyang province. Here I am going Rush Limbaugh.
There you go.
The nation's leading granary. So, hey, the KCNA says the farm introduced cutting-edge technique as breeding fish in ponds, mixing cold water with warm water, and taking measures for preventing diseases. Let's add Ryan to the call. Ryan, you're on the morning stream.
Oh, hey, I think you got yourself the wrong name there. But I got to say there, Bobby, you got yourself an excellent Chinese impersonation.
Is that Hank Hill?
I think it's Hank Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, Fox's own canceled Hank Hill. Where are you calling from today? Are you in Texas?
Oh, yeah, that would stand to reason there, Bobby.
I think he thinks that I'm his son, Bobby. that's a little creepy. How has it been since being canceled from Fox, which it has a tendency to cancel shows? Things been all right?
I have been approached by Fox News. they have a segment lined up for me. It's called How to Pose for a Fat Boy Magazine.
It sounds like a really sweet opportunity. I think you should embrace it.
Well, I wanted to call you guys, though, to talk about your unfair treatment toward Glenn Beck.
Oh, okay. Let's hear this one. I'm ready for this.
Well, you see, there's two sides to every argument, as my father once told me. And the other side to this argument hasn't exactly been innocent either.
Mm.
And by that, I do mean Stephen Hawking and his inflammatory statements toward the aliens.
All right. I really don't know who this is, but I'm going to just assume this is actually Hank Hill.
Yes, it's much better if you just imagine.
Okay. I'm done.
Oh, he's done. All right, he's done. Goodbye, Hank Hill. I hung up on the wrong guy. I hung up on Ibbot. Hang up. Okay, here we go. funny. Sorry, dude. Hung up on the wrong dude. Anyway, that, so that was great. Thank you, Hank. I can't wait to hear from you again.
We should have to sell your propane and your propane related products.
We should have an occasional Hank Hill update. That would be pretty fun. I think I know what Ryan that is, and I'll have to talk to him about that. That's pretty funny. Anyway, so all I'm saying is that, what's this? Interesting.
So eels and snails doing very well.
So it's doing okay. Maybe that's prompted Pyongyang to go, hey, we'd like to have talks again, because that's happening. Mm-hmm. So all's well that ends well with eels and snails in North Korea.
You know what doesn't trade so well?
What's that?
Puppy dog tails.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Joining us right now is Richard. Richard, welcome to the morning. And he hung up. He keeps calling and then hanging up. I'm not going to pick up Richard's call anymore.
Richard's microphone or something's not working. Or
please turn down your radio, sir. Could you please turn off your radio? Hey, here's a funny, interesting story. Not really funny, but it is interesting. An internet users form groups. How shocking to you and I to learn this. Yeah, really? Weird, right? Very weird. Internet users more likely to volunteer for groups as well. So this showed up on CNN. The stigma that heavy internet usage creates lonely, reclusive people blogging in the dark room may require some rethinking. Really? Really, CNN? Really? You people blog too. Where are you doing it from? See, even an article that is set up to debunk ideas like this, I don't like that they're...
Well, they're on a blog saying this.
Right. And you know, it's just pandering. But anyway, of all web users surveyed, 80% participate in groups versus 56% that don't like to use the internet, the report said. On social networks, it's slightly higher. And on Twitter in particular, 85% are active in groups of various kinds. For the survey, 2,303 American adults were polled in November and December. I don't think that's enough people to get a really good solid base. But still, it is interesting. And I've always found that, I mean, people that I know online are some of the most social people I ever met. People that play World of Warcraft, they all want to have meetups every freaking day if they could. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So this just confirms what we already know. F these guys.
Yeah. Oh, this just in. People who lived in caves formed packs.
Whoa.
Wow.
What?
It was crazy.
Wow. All right. Here's something my wife was freaking out about yesterday. Parents who don't vaccinate their kids should be paying higher insurance premiums. She agrees. She basically is saying, well, if your job is to hang from a high wire every day and have the chance of, you know, falling and breaking your neck, you should probably pay higher premiums. So people who put their kids at risk to getting illnesses they would not otherwise have because they were being vaccinated should be also paying higher premiums. But then that's a volatile issue on the other side, because the people are saying, wow, vaccinations are giving my kids autism. And they're all flipping out about it on that, you know, side of the issue. So I'm going to ask the guy in the booth, what do you think about this? The idea that if you're not vaccinating your kids, if Tristan didn't get vaccinated, you should pay more.
See, and I would agree with that initially. My initial thought definitely would agree with that. It's, you know, if you're basically exposing your child to a risk of disease or life-threatening illness that is going to basically cause more strain on the taxpayers and that sort of thing, then you should pay higher premiums. However, do they have a point? Is there a valid proof out there that there is danger to vaccinations, that there is, that there is a link towards certain vaccinations and autism or certain vaccinations and other diseases? Mm. That would be interesting. You know, that would be a somewhat of a valid argument to this.
Yeah.
However,
Recent evidence points to no. Like, there's some stuff floating around here lately, and I don't have it in front of me, but there's some study that was just released that can't find the tie. So that probably kicks more dirt into this argument, but I don't know. I find it fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting point of conversation. It looks like we're getting a call from probably somewhere out of the country. Let's take this. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hello there. This is Richard Betteridge. I'm ringing from somewhere in the United States of America. And I am just really, really craving some beef burgers right now. And, you know, I've heard that Australia is a lovely European country to visit at this time of year. You know, something like that.
Okay. That was pretty good. There was a little bit of... something else in there, though. So where do you really come from?
Hi. I actually come from Douglas in the Isle of Man, which is a small island just off the UK.
Ah, see? Okay. Oh, cool. Okay. That's kind of what I was hearing. That was pretty good. Is that how you at least hear, like, is that what an American sounds like to you?
Well, I'm quite, I can understand and see that there's quite a variety in American accents, but that seems to be the general stereotype we have of American people over here, to be honest, sort of the redneck southerner who likes his beef burgers and can't tell geography for anything. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we do that to you guys, too. You know, we have our vision of what the typical UK resident is like. You know, Scottish people are all wearing kilts and playing bagpipes and grow funny beards, and everybody in London is, you know, stuck up, has horrible teeth, and you know, I get the idea that this probably, you know, you guys aren't alone. We probably get the same sort of treatment everywhere. It's just interesting that it's all kind of a rednecky thing. Do you feel like it was President Bush's term in office that kind of solidified that as the prominent thing?
Yeah, I can't really sort of overstate how excited people in the UK got when Obama was elected. Simply just for the fact that he wasn't Bush, I think, was probably the reason why everyone just got a little bit fed up with Bush, especially because Tony Blair had such a peculiar relationship with him that we just really couldn't understand it, because all he appeared to us was some sort of weird ass redneck southerner. To be honest, yeah.
There are quite a few people here who thought that same thing, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it was, I shouldn't say, I don't speak for everybody, but I know a lot of people were happy to have just any change. Mm-hmm. You know, we would have taken just about anything at that point, but that's interesting. I feel like that redneckish sort of thing comes from probably his presidency and then people's perception of that presidency overall, you know, around the world. But I wonder what they think now of things like, because I know Jersey Shore shows up on a bunch of, you know, foreign markets. And I worry that that is now our passport to everybody. And that this is what they think young, impressionable, you know, people in France or something are going, oh my gosh, is this what Americans are? Mm-hmm. How much credence do people, like, do you really put a lot of stock in those kinds of things, and does that inform your opinion about America in general?
I personally, not for me. I think for a lot of people, though, that quite easily possibly be the case, because there is a hell of a lot of American sort of television that we put on our televisions and stuff that we see, and some of it sort of via Super Sweet 16 and stuff like that. It really gives sort of the impression of sort of this uptight, sort of up themselves view of Americans. But a lot of people at the same time, we get a lot of our impressions at the moment with stuff like the Tea Party. I mean, that type of thing in the UK just seen as complete, excuse the phrase, but like BS type stuff.
Yeah.
Because that type of right-wing ideals really is not really that popular over in the UK. So when we see people like Sarah Palin, we just think she's some sort of loony, and we can't believe that people really are supporting her.
Yeah, I think, well, her poll numbers, if you could call them that, I guess we have poll numbers for people who aren't elected, are super low right now. I think people are kind of getting a little tired of it, of that rhetoric. But I'm with you. I'm always surprised what passes for where you should throw your devotion.
Yeah. So. It'd be, you know, be great if, because I know a lot of the other countries get a lot of our TV. I mean, CSI was just as big, I think, in the UK as it was here for a while. And it'd be great if we could send just the good shows and no reality TV to other countries.
Yeah, because then you guys, the Americans, they solve crime all the time.
That's right. Instead of, okay, so
they're all like... CSI is absolutely massive there. I think it pretty much keeps up. There's a channel called Channel 5, which is pretty much just held up by the fact that it's CSI, and otherwise I don't think anyone would bother watching.
That's kind of cool. I like that idea. I mean, that's some of our, I mean, obviously life isn't one big procedural crime drama, but it's, you know, it's a look at interesting people doing interesting work. And I think I like to think that people see us for more than just yeehaw, you know, on a stick, which is, I know, sometimes the impression we leave. All right. Well, hey man, thanks for calling. This is a very good insight from someone across the pond, as it were.
Quick question for you, by the way, before you go. I spent my 16th. You get to the Isle of Man through the Kyle of Lochalsh, right?
No.
Or am
no.
I thinking of a different island? Maybe I'm thinking of a different island. I
spent my 16th. The Isle of Man's like right in the middle of the Irish Sea. So you've got Ireland on the left, you've got the UK on the right, north of England, and we're like right in the middle of the sea there. We're known for being a bit of a tax haven and the TT races, which is where lots of people like riding little bikes around the roads, which aren't very ride, and over the mountain, and kill themselves. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's further north. I think the Kyle of Lochalsh must be further north. I spent my 16th birthday in the Kyle of Lochalsh, so that was a memorable.
It's a nice part of the world. I've been up that way in the world, but yeah, we're not that far north.
Did you wear a kilt and sing or blow on a bagpipe, Brian?
Of course, yeah, it was required.
Oh, because I just assume that's true all the time. Very nice. Well, thanks, man. I think you actually have to hang up on us because Skype isn't letting me hang up on you, which is annoying.
I could do that for you, Scott. Thank you very much. And this is a great show. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon here, so it's a really, really good time.
Oh, brilliant.
So, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was good to have you on. Thanks, man. All right. I'm going to skip ahead a little because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's how we do, Brian. I was going to tell you about this guy just north of me here that ran over his dog with a lawnmower, someone else's dog. But I'm going to skip that story. I'll save that for tomorrow.
Ooh, tease that one for tomorrow, yeah.
But I will give you this one. A woman was paralyzed by a hickey. Okay. This, according to BoingBoing.net, reported that a 44-year-old woman in New Zealand presented with partial paralysis at Auckland's Middlemore Hospital Emergency Department. After examination, the doctor concluded she had suffered from a mild stroke caused by a hickey near a major artery in her neck. She recovered after being treated with anticoagulants. Quote, because of the physical trauma, it had made a bit of bruising inside the vessel. There was a clot in the artery underneath where the hickey was. They say the clot dislodged, traveled to the woman's heart, where it caused a minor stroke and led to the loss of movement. Quote, we looked around the medical literature for another example, and they haven't been able to find it. So,
wow.
Or not, at least not described in such a way that it would lead them to think that another hickey had caused partial paralysis or even full paralysis in somebody. What the hell, dude? And where is this douchebag dude that just couldn't get enough of this lady's neck? Oh, and you can see it. You see it in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the picture right now. That is
something else. Mm-hmm. They need to track this dude down.
Is it two hickeys or did that one go all the way through her neck to the other side?
I don't know. It looked like three hickeys. There's that other little one over there on the other side. I don't know.
Yeah, she burned herself with a curling iron there.
That was all excuse my sisters used. Yep. So full of crap. I wondered if that was just them, but apparently that's a common thing.
Oh, no. No, that was common. That was common in our school.
We got a call coming in. Let's see who this is. Hello, you're on the morning stream.
Hello. This is Zach in Canada.
Hey, how's it going in Canada? We love our Canadians. What's up?
Today.
Oh, for sure, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to pipe in on this vaccine issue that was going on. Basically, I study basically like developmental disorders in university.
Yeah.
I'm working on my psychology degree, and essentially, fairly recently, the guy who was the MMR vaccine, which has been really linked to autism, the entire thing has come out that he was getting paid for tons of it, and essentially the entire study, which so much of all of the beliefs surrounding vaccines and autism it's basically all just been revealed to be a sham and fraud. And
this is the thing. This is the article I was thinking about. Actually, I was listening to it may have been a podcast or something, but something a couple of weeks ago, in fact, where they had revealed that a bunch of the data was corrupt, and the guy had like fudged a bunch of numbers to kind of support his thesis. And I assume this is the same. It's probably the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, like the guy was getting backing from a bunch of people, like I think it was like pharmaceutical companies and mm-hmm. all sorts of crazy stuff. And I mean, now think about the effects now where, I mean, basically people are looking for a reason. Why did my kid get autism? And the vaccine age is around the same time that those symptoms begin to emerge. And so people just think, oh, well, it makes sense. But in reality, you're getting so many more risks because you're not, you know, because you're not vaccinating your kids. Yeah. When in reality, this, you know, I mean, the vaccines haven't really ever been tied to nowhere near to the point where it's believed, you know, by most people.
Right.
There has been some studies, but it's never been backed up and really.
Well, you could see proven. You could see how it gets freaked parents out. I mean, just to play devil's advocate for a second, parents hearing, and this is the problem, is it's mostly just hearing things. So, you know, your fears come out. But a parent hears, oh, vaccines, if I give my kid a vaccine for polio, it's going to give him autism. Holy crap. I mean, who am I to know what this is and how it works? I'm going to do the safe thing and just try to keep him away from polio his whole life or whatever. You can see them reacting that way. And the problem with studies like the first one is it riles people up and gets them all worked up mm-hmm. about something. And then to be told that, oh, those studies you got riled up about, those turned out to be bull crap or they're questionable at the very least. So you don't have to worry about it now. There's still a large percentage of those people. I mean, not everyone goes, oh, phew, thank goodness. All right, back to the doctor. Let's get those shots. Mm-hmm. You know, instead
yeah, exactly. They, and like yeah. a lot of people don't even hear about it, and it takes way longer for, you know, for word to spread this, you know, that this vaccine isn't some hocus pocus or whatever, you know, this some sort of evil thing that's going to give your kids autism. It takes a long time for that stigma to go away.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for your call. Really appreciate it. I love when professional smart people call mm-hmm. and tell us good stuff about things that we don't know.
Cause it means that there are professional smart people listening.
That's a very good point. All right. You got loud all of a sudden. Oh, that was me. I did that. It wasn't you. It was me.
Sorry.
No. It was totally me. I cranked him up, but then I realized that that cranks you up too. And I forgot to turn you down.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we learn as we go. Okay. I'm saving that story for tomorrow. It's time for a break. Celebrity poop coming up after the break. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, gonna listen to a mashup that Ibbot sent me. Now, this is less of a mashup and more of like a...
It's a cover and mashup combo.
Yeah, yes. Which is and really it's, interesting.
It's from Sweden. It's a group called The Black, and they put out an album called Gold, which was entirely ABBA covers or ABBA covers. You know, it's a toss-up, by the way. People call it ABBA or ABBA.
There's no consensus? Is it ABBA or ABBA?
There's no consensus, yeah. I know we've got a couple Swedes in the... in the chat room who might be able to weigh in on that. But anyway, The Black from Sweden. And it's funny because they had to actually make their name The Black Sweden. You know, like there's the Specials UK. They had to put the UK at the end because there was already a Specials in America. So they had to do the same thing. They're The Black Sweden.
Well, nice. Well, it sounds really cool to me. I really was into this. It's Enter Sandman / Take a Chance on Me. I know that sounds crazy, but it kind of works. Check it out. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
package makes 2 quarts of Kool-Aid, 9 great flavors to drink you love. Kool-Aid.
For the very best drink you ever made.
Kool-Aid.
Be sure that the envelope says Kool-Aid.
You can give your youngsters a lot of pleasure with Kool-Aid. You know it's pure and good. It has the Parents Magazine seal. And it's so thrifty. A 5-cent package makes 2 full quarts. Just add Kool-Aid to water with ice. Add some sugar and stir.
For the very best drink you ever made.
Be sure that the envelope says Kool-Aid.
We should really warn you. This show is going to get all up in your grill, pimp. This is the Morning Stream. Talk to Scott live. Call 801-770-4244 now. Or drop us an email. themorningstream@gmail.com.
And we're back. Kool-Aid, Brian.
A 5-cent package makes, I can't even say it. I don't know how that 8-year-old kid says a 5-cent package makes 2 quarts of.
I don't know. Who knows how many takes, how many times
so
I've
poorly
had that
written.
It's horrible. Anyway, I love vintage commercials, as you may have noticed on this show.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm going to be playing a lot of these as time goes on. That song was awesome too, by the way. Very cool.
Oh, cool.
I love that Ibbitt can bring this stuff to the show. So we will count on more of that as the show goes on. We'll have some great mashups, covers, stuff we can legally play even on the show.
That's right. And if you want to hear more of those, go to coverville.com.
That's right. Coverville.com. It's the place to be if you're into music/covers. We should pimp you more often.
I'm not very good at pimping myself.
I'm starting the Pimping Brian Ibbitt fan club starting now. Somebody in the chat room says, Kool-Aid causes autism, Scott. I think your study is flawed. Anyway.
I poop on your study.
I poop on it. All right, well, there you go, folks. It's time for something that I really, 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 really like on the show and something I'm looking forward to as the show moves forward. And that is celebrity news. And that is why I play this.
Looking into our crystal ball, we come up with swimsuit fashions for 1952. These are called heavenly bodies because they are out of this world. Mother and Tots are going to be well suited in their fashion.
Brought to you today by Hypothetical Help. That's at hypotheticalhelp.com. The podcast with Scott Johnson and the Terpster, Mark the Terpster Turpin. We give bad advice to real people each and every week. Again, that's Hypothetical Help. At hypotheticalhelp.com or search iTunes for Hypothetical Help. This is Celebrity Poop. Let's do it. You ready for this?
Bring it. Oh, bring
love,
it on.
I love this stuff. Let's have a little background music. A little something. A little something for the celebrities. All right. First up, Christina Aguilera to perform national anthem at Super Bowl. Sorry.
Not a fan,
sick.
Huh?
You know, not really. Not really, because I just feel like, I don't know. I like the idea of having, this is going to show some bias here. I admit this, so it's fine. But I like the idea of having somebody who can really sing. She can sing. Okay, she has a voice. I got that. Yeah. But somebody who's not like a pop star who's changing their image every 5 minutes. I feel like it just deserves some... the word isn't respect. I'm just looking for some. And who could do it? Like,
well, Springsteen, right?
Springsteen could do it.
Aerosmith.
See, that's where I'm biased. Like, yeah, Springsteen sounds awesome to me, but other people are going Springsteen.
Oh, the Who. I'm sorry, the Who was last year, not Springsteen.
Well, and see, this isn't even not even talking mid show or mid.
This is national anthem.
We're just talking national anthem. I just feel like it ought to be somebody who can get up and go, and the rocket, and not somebody who's going to go, and the rocket's red flare. You know what I mean? I mean, just give it some damn respect is all I'm saying.
Yes, that I will give you that. I think she's got a great voice, but that is the thing that really irritates me more than auto-tune in pop music is unnecessary runs. You know, the...
We know you're talented. We know you got your stupid R&B groove going. We get it. We get it.
Yeah.
But it's a national anthem. I just want to kind of hear the stoic, straight-on deal.
Get Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Great idea. Speaking, by the way, just a little bit, you know, industry past on this. The five-time Grammy winner performed as part of the Super Bowl halftime show in 2000. So she did that along with Enrique Iglesias and Phil Collins. Yeah.
There's a combo.
I can feel it coming. How's that song go? I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
The air tonight, yeah.
But this will be her first time singing the Star Spangled Banner for the big game. So enjoy that. A little sports news for you.
Do we know who's doing the halftime show, by the way?
No idea, although maybe this goes, this doesn't say, so I'm not sure. I don't think that's been announced. I'm
sure somebody in the chat room.
Let's take a guess. So they've done the aged dudes. It's
like people are saying Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, put me in a grave. They're fine. Whatever.
Taboo kind of scares me. You know, there's something about that guy's look. Because he doesn't really smile. He just kind of stares. He's got this piercing stare.
But nobody's showing their boobs yet. Like what's-her-name did.
Yeah, like Janet Jackson.
I don't know. Hasn't happened
yet. Fergie could do it. If anyone. She peed on stage once. Remember?
She did.
Wet her pants.
Yeah, she did. I don't know that she meant to. Hey, this just in. Oscar nominations came out today.
Oh, yeah.
I added this very last minute. The King's Speech leads the Oscar races. That's actually a film I'd like to see. This is sort of my kind of thing. I love period piece stuff like this. True Grit, based on the same book, or the name of the same book. Anyway, we all love this. Was nominated 10 times, including Jeff Bridges for Best Actor, Hailee Steinfeld for Best Supporting Actress, and Best Movie Competition. The Social Network, of course. We all knew this was going to happen. Is up for Academy Awards in 8 categories, including Best Picture, and Jesse Eisenberg's nomination for Best Actor. I thought he was great.
So that's next. I think it's the next one they're sending me on my Netflix list is the Social Network.
By the way, King's Speech, best 3 of the 4 acting categories nomination. That's pretty impressive. Wow. Inception, a film that explores the human mind and dreams, got 8 nominations, including Best Picture. Here are the nominations. So just to kind of clear this thing up, nominations for Best Picture are The Social Network, The King's Speech, The Fighter, True Grit, Black Swan, White Swan. Just kidding. Only Black Swan. I was trying I don't want to be racist. The Kids Are All Right, Inception, Toy Story 3, 127 Hours, and Winter's Bone. Now, I haven't seen Winter's Bone, The Fighter, or The King's Speech yet, and I really want to see all that. I had somebody tell me a terrible joke about 127 Hours on Twitter yesterday. They said, oh, man, I'd give my right arm to see that movie. But, you know, I live in Utah, so I feel like I got to represent and support that movie more because that happened here.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe that's dumb. Toy Story 3, though, that's cool.
Toy Story 3 and The Fighter was fantastic. Tina and I went and saw that this last weekend, and it's excellent.
Best actor nominations are Javier Bardem, who starred in Beautiful. Bridges for True Grit, Eisenberg for Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, and James Franco for 127 Hours. Way to go, Green Goblin's son. That's pretty awesome. Annette Bening for female lead and as an actress.
The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah, have you seen that?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
And she and Julianne Moore make a very interesting and believable couple.
Wow. Yeah. I've heard really good things about that film. Is it funny or depressing? Because I don't want to be depressed.
It's funny. It's got some serious elements. I'd say it's probably 50% drama, 50% humor. But Mark Ruffalo, man, you know, he's becoming one of my favorite actors.
He can do no wrong. Yep.
I can't wait to see him as Banner.
Ruffalo makes everything better, and I predict he'll make Hulk better. Let's see what else matters here. Annette Bening, Nicole Kidman for The Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan. Or is it? She's getting a retro award for her movie with that French guy called, I forgot the name already. Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine, which apparently has got some sexiness in it. What's his name in that? I can't think of his name. Anyway, the Notebook guy.
Gyllenhaal, isn't it?
No, it's the other one. The other one. He's kind of in that class of dudes.
Right.
Anyway, can't think of his name, and someone in the chat room is probably screaming it.
Probably.
He's a Utah native, so I probably should support her.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling, that's it.
There we go.
Yeah, he's from here. Moving on to supporting
Winter's Bone, by the way.
Winter's
Bone, very depressing movie.
That's what I heard. I heard it's really depressing, but I hear she's amazing in it.
She's fantastic. Yeah. Very believable, but it is a bleak movie.
Nominees for Best Supporting Actress are Amy Adams for The Fighter. She shows her boobs.
You see him through a sheer bra.
Ah, all right. Well, good job, Amy Adams. Still good. Keeping all those enchanted kids happy. Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech. Melissa Leo for The Fighter. Haley Steinfeld for True Grit. I'd vote for her in a heartbeat. She was amazing. And Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. Best Supporting goes to Christian Bale for Looking Like Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, in The Fighter. John Hawks for Winter's Bone. Jeremy Renner for The Town. Love Jeremy Renner. He's awesome. Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right.
There you go. You got Hawkeye and The Incredible Hulk nominated there.
And Geoffrey Rush, or Jeffrey Rush, as it's probably said, in The King's Speech. I love Jeffrey Rush, pretty much. He's also one of those guys I could watch in anything. He's on my list. So there you go, guys. Pretty much the major stuff. If you're interested in films and awards and award shows, then by gum, this is for you. All right, moving on. You got to hear this, dude. This is crazy. Oprah Winfrey has a secret sister.
What?
Oprah,
you get a sister, and you get a sister.
And you get a sister. Oprah Winfrey revealed on her television show Monday morning, this was yesterday while we were recording, or roughly around then, that she has a half-sister she knew nothing about, so she had no idea until recently. The sister, Patricia, has been kept a secret by Oprah's mother, who put her up for adoption at birth. Quote, "For the most part, my life has been an open book," Oprah said. "I thought nothing could surprise me, but I was wrong. Then I grew a third boob on my back. That was surprising also," unquote. Winfrey said she chose to make the announcement herself so the media could not exploit it. Her sister, Patricia, spoke up about being put up for adoption at birth, spent time in foster care, and longed to be reunited with her foster mother. I'm going to play you a clip of this reunion. You ready for this?
They had the reunion on the show. This was, we're hearing the first time that they've seen each other?
Yeah. She showed up, or she brought her out, talked about it, cried, held hands, told the story. You know,
wow.
big ratings thing. I don't really understand the Oprah thing exactly, but apparently it's huge. So here's that clip.
Oprah revealed on her show today that she has a half-sister named Patricia, and DNA tests to prove it. Oprah says her mom left Patricia at the hospital where she was born back in 1963. Patricia then grew up in foster care, and it wasn't until just a few years ago she decided to find her birth mother. Little did she know, she'd basically been born into American royalty.
Oh, well, holy poop.
Oh.
All right, so that's the wrong clip. I recorded the wrong thing. But the reunion happened. So basically that lady just repeated what I said.
Yeah, if you can imagine, you know, a woman winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, that's pretty much what it sounded like.
Get a giant fake check with Roper's face on it.
That's right.
Holy smokes. Congratulations. I don't know who leaves their kid at a hospital and then puts them up for adoption. I don't understand that. That seems crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But how would it be to just be living your kind of small average life, no big deal, and then find out that Oprah, who you've probably watched on TV a bunch, mm-hmm. is your sister the whole time. Well, half sister.
That's crazy. Half sister, but totally still, weird. That is crazy.
And the funny thing is, I don't even care about any of this. That's the best part. Is this doesn't interest me at all. Like, in the least.
Tina watches Oprah pretty regularly. I always joke with her. I say, oh, did you see who was on the cover of the latest Oprah Winfrey magazine? Because it's always Oprah. It's never a picture of Kim Kardashian or Renee Zellweger. It's always Oprah.
Sometimes it's that creepy Stedman guy.
Is it
ever so occasionally? Yeah.
He's hidden on there like the Playboy bunny ears. You have to look for him every issue.
Exactly.
To find where he's hidden.
They're in there somewhere. Speaking of awards, Eclipse and Airbender tie for most Razzie nominations. Finally, M. Night Shyamalan gets some love. Shyamalan's action fantasy, The Last Airbender, tied with the Twilight Saga Eclipse for most Golden Raspberry nominations Monday at 9 each. Did people really hate that Twilight movie that bad this year? Guess so.
I guess they must have. Yeah.
Weird.
Did they hate it just because it was Twilight, or were there Twilight fans who actually felt like it was?
Yeah. Good point. Because all the Twilight fans I know loved it. Mm-hmm. And I don't, not that I know that many, but our friend Eileen Rivera, she loved it.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of someone else. My wife liked it. They thought it was all right. Anyway. Shyamalama Ding-a-Dong, nominated for Best Director for an Oscar in 1999 for The Sixth Sense, was nominated for Worst Director and Screenplay. The film also scored a nomination for Worst Eye Gouging Misuse of 3D, a special category to mark Hollywood's current craze for shooting in three dimensions or converting 2D movies to 3D. Good for them for doing that. Mm-hmm. Let's call that out and get that over with.
Yes. Oh, it should have gone. Well, I didn't see Airbender, so I don't know if it was worse than Clash of the Titans, but Clash of the Titans was almost unwatchable in 3D. There were scenes where some people were hiding behind leaves, and the chunks of their faces you could see behind the leaves actually appeared in front of the leaves.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrible. Plus, the 3D glasses smell like poo.
Oh, they always do. There's poo on every pair. Yes. Let that be known forever. Nominated for Worst Picture with Eclipse and Airbender were Jennifer Aniston's action comedy, The Bounty Hunter, Sarah Jessica Parker's romantic romp, Seabiscuit. I'm sorry, Sex and the City 2. And the Twilight parody, Vampires Suck, which... It sucks.
I didn't see it, but I'm guessing it's kind of like the scary movie and hero movie, things like that. The parodies that try to be like the great Zucker Brothers parodies from the 80s.
The Zucker Brothers. Peter Fonda found a dead body.
Nope.
This is my favorite story of the day. Peter Fonda found this body driving around, just called a 911, said, hey, this is Peter Fonda. I don't know what he sounds like. What does he sound like?
That sounds just like him.
Is that pretty close?
It was dead on, yeah.
I like Peter Fonda. I really liked him in 310 to Yuma. Thought that role was awesome. Yeah. Anyway, he found a body. Apparently, it was the body of a man who committed suicide. Fonda was driving on Sunset Boulevard in the Pacific Palisades area of L.A. around 2 p.m. in the afternoon when he saw a car parked on the side of the road. Fonda got out of his car to check out the situation and found a body of a man slumped over in the front seat. Fonda called 911 to report his find. Cops and the coroner are now on the scene. This was a few days ago, so they're not really there anymore. The man in the car took his own life, and the body had been there for about 3 days.
3 days!
So I say, good on Peter Fonda for just, it's kind of cool, you know? This guy doesn't need nobody. He didn't have to stop for nothing, but he, you know, was concerned and did his civic duty. Absolutely. I like it when actors do this crap. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're not all, you know, Lindsay Lohan. Just right. Shoving cocaine up her butt and trying to stay away from everybody. I don't know that she really... do not quote me.
You don't know how drugs are taken, do you?
I don't. How does it work? I've heard they put cocaine up their butts.
You rub it on your eyelids.
And then, oh, man. Anyway, good for Peter Fonda. And finally, in today's celebrity poop news, the new Matrix sequels are not happening, Brian. Because there was a rumor floating around that a new Matrix sequels were coming, or sequels/prequels, whatever they were going to be. Is anyone actually disappointed out there, like chat room? In fact, people should call in. What do you think about not having Matrix sequels? Good idea, bad idea? 801-770-4244. That's 801-770-4244. Call now. We'd love to hear what you think. Like an unwitting inhabitant of the Matrix, Harry Knowles at Ain't It Cool News believed whatever he wanted to believe when he was tantalizing fans with subsequently disproven news that Keanu Reeves was planning to reteam with Andy and Lana Wachowski. Now, Lana's the one that sex changed, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
All yep. right. Right on. For two more sequels about techno messiah Neo, a representative for Reeves told EW, none of this is true. But the real question is anyone actually disappointed that the Wachowskis are not going to re-enter the Matrix? Let's ask this caller right here. Welcome to the morning stream. What do you think about this move?
I think it's very well done. I think it's a great move to do.
You think they should not do it or should do it?
Shouldn't. By far.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They should stay. They should be good with what they've done, even though those two sequels were terrible.
Yeah, don't drag it on.
All right. Fair enough.
For me, the Matrix ended with one. I bought that one on Blu-ray, and I'm not buying the other two on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Thanks for your call. Let's take another one. We got this one coming in from somewhere in the 386 area code. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Brandon from North Dakota.
Well, hello, Brandon. What do you think about the Matrix, the state of the Matrix sequels? Do you care that we get new ones or not?
I hope so. I hope we get at least, you know, maybe three more, except without Keanu Reeves in it.
Yeah, but see, he's like the main dude, right? Like, what storyline would you pursue if you could do sequels?
I would probably have to go with the, you know, what happened to Neo's body at the end of the movie.
But that would be it. That would just be a body, no actual actor.
How about Morpheus and those guys, Trinity?
If Morpheus maybe would fight a little bit better, yeah.
Well, the problem with Morpheus is I don't know how old he is now. Like, what's his name? My brain just went. Oh, Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne, yeah.
Probably in his 50s, right? That's okay. Not that that's a bad thing. I just think it's a little bit different now.
I don't know how the slow motion would go if he was in a walker, though.
Right, right. And I worry about Trinity not really holding up very well. Maybe you put her enough spandex and she'd probably be okay. Thanks for your call. We got another one here from an unknown caller. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Andrew from West Virginia.
Ah, West Virginia, land of the stuff that you guys do.
Land of a thousand dances.
Not too much.
Yeah. So tell us what do you think? What do you think about the idea of a Matrix sequel / prequel?
Yeah. One of the coolest things about the Matrix in general wasn't actually the movie for me, honestly. It was the fact of what it left behind. I don't know if you're a big fan of Mythbusters or not, but yeah. They did a huge theme that was actually done through that. I mean, they had a huge set up out in California, and it was just incredible. And they left that behind.
Hmm. Interesting. Well,
did they bust the myth of whether or not you could bend over backwards and
or that you avoid could bend bullets? A spoon with your brain and things like that?
Yeah. No, it was actually a huge interstate.
Oh.
They had so they could film the truck scenes and all that stuff where they do the motion and the bullet shots.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for your input. And, that got rid of Ibit for some reason. Shouldn't have. Let's try calling him back. There we go. Interesting stuff. Sorry, dude. That was not me. I don't know what happened there. Got another one coming in. You are on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, this is
Derek from Sweden.
Oh, who do I have here?
Oh,
I have you. I have Derek from Sweden.
Yes.
And then who else do I have?
Oh,
who else?
Andrew from Florida.
Dude, what the hell? Something's jacked. Hold on, I got to hang up on everybody. All right, hold on. I know what happened there. That was really weird. Skype is misbehaving. It's doing weird things. So I somehow got two calls at once. I don't know what that was. All right, now we're going to try this one.
Okay.
Hi, who's this? You're on the morning stream.
Hey, Scott, it's Sam from Wales.
Oh, Sam from Wales. Hey, oh, yes. What are you doing in Wales today?
Well, I just came back from school.
Ah, that's right. Doing the good work, keeping up your studies. I hope your grades are good. What, they have grades in Wales, or how do they do that?
Yeah, I just had mocks. So mock exams before my end of year things.
Understood. So what's your tell me your thoughts on Matrix sequels. Do you care?
Not really. I enjoyed the first one, but the second two were meh.
They were garbage, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well, may
only thing I'd just like to say is and Green Hornet has been getting a lot of bad reviews. Yeah, there are plot holes, but it's a lot of fun just watching it, so I would recommend it.
Oh, all right. So Green Hornet, good movie, eh?
Yeah.
All right, you heard it from Wales first. Thanks for your call,
Very
Sam.
Good.
I'm pretty sure I didn't understand 90% of what he just said though.
Something about Green Hornet and
that's what I love about the wheels.
And sausages, I think.
And sausages. That was it. All my
bangers and mash.
All my Matrix sequels need to have more sausage in them.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that sounds wrong.
Mr. Jordan just pinged me, wants to jump in.
Oh, let's add him to the call. Hold on a second. Can I do that? Yeah, I can do that. I should pay more attention to my pings as well. Let's get his take on the idea of a Matrix sequel, or lack of them. Joining us on the morning stream is Mr. Randy Jordan. Randy, welcome to the morning stream.
Oh, I love Oscar nominations morning.
Do you? It's your favorite, isn't it?
I love the idea that they pay some actor and actress to stay up all night, basically, because they film this thing at 3 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
And they look like, they really do look like they are on 7 cans of Four Loko by the time they start, naming nominations. But they try to be all serene and solemn about it,
Yeah, yeah.
So I am really excited this year. Like this, I didn't realize until the nominations came in just how awesome this
year was. What's your early favorite? Like in the category of best picture of those that are laid out, where do you land? I think I know, but
I love Inception. I thought Inception was so original and so entertaining. I really, really love it. But I would be happy for King's Speech to win if not Inception. Mm. I think the performances by Colin Firth and Jeffrey Rush were just incredible.
Yeah. I feel bad I haven't seen that. I'm pretty anxious to see it.
There were five things that struck me as really odd in these nominations. Would you like to hear them?
Yes. Rattle them off.
Top five music.
Let me give you some top five music.
Well, it's top five weird things.
All right. So let's Oh, I don't know what's good for that. Let's try this. Here we go.
Glenn Miller in the booth.
All right, go for it. What do you got? Top
five.
All right,
so best art direction. We love this category because we like art in film. I mean, we like film that aspires to be art, right?
Yeah.
And so they nominated Alice in Wonderland, Harry Potter, Inception, King's Speech, and True Grit. Now, don't get me wrong. I love King's Speech and True Grit. But nominating those films for art direction and snubbing the Black Swans lets you know that the voters really didn't see Black Swans.
All right, all right. Were there multiple swans or just the one? I only knew about the one. You had Mila Kunis.
There were two Black Swans, yeah.
I'm making a 30 Rock joke.
Oh, got it.
There's a 30 Rock did a whole... It's never mind.
All right, number two.
It was really funny, though. The funniest moment on 30 Rock this year, it was a Black Swan joke. Okay, so screenplay, right? Screenplay comes in two flavors, best original screenplay and best adapted screenplay. So you'd really think those categories are easy to figure out, right? If it's based on new work, it's original. If it's based on existing work, it's adapted, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, The King's Speech is based on the true story of what happened in the 1930s with the royal family. How can that be an original screenplay?
Mm.
It's based on a book. It's based on a stage play. And I don't understand how they nominated that for original screenplay.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of adapted screenplay.
All right.
And The King's Speech is in the same category there as, like, Inception, which is as original as it gets, in the same category as The Fighter, which should have been called The Fighter based on The Wrestler.
and it's also based on a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also based on the true story of, what's his name, who fought Arturo Gatti over and over. What's his name?
Mike Tyson.
No. The Fighter is about Brian Helper.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Mark Wahlberg's character.
Not Sean O'Grady. That's another Walter Wayne.
Zangief.
It was Mick.
E-Honda. E-Honda. No?
Arturo Gatti had a famous series of three fights with this guy.
Mick.
And when this movie was announced, I was like, why aren't they making a film about Arturo Gatti? Anyway. Okay, so... Best score, right? One of our favorite categories.
Is this number three? This is three of five, right?
I think so.
All right.
I think so. So one of our favorite categories every year is best score because we like the music. And I love this category. I love it both in theory and I like the nominees this year, every one of them. But a category where Hans Zimmer and John Powell are competing with Trent Reznor and Daft Punk got snubbed is a category that scares the hell out of me.
Mm. I love the Reznor track, though. The Reznor soundtrack is awesome. So I agree.
So was the Daft Punk bit. And I think it probably just came too late for these old, pasty old white dudes who nominate for Oscars, you know?
Yeah. Fair point.
To really get in love with Daft Punk. Also, Tron Legacy wasn't very well reviewed. It was, you know, about half and half, positive and negative.
Sure.
Okay, all right. So, best documentary. Another one of our favorite little categories, right?
All right, best documentary.
The nominees are Gasland, Inside Job, Rest Repo, Wasteland, and then the clear favorite, everyone's clear favorite for best documentary, Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah.
But here's the question. When they give the Oscar to Banksy, how will they know he actually collects it? How will they know that it's just not some guy coming up on stage?
They won't know.
That is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to the Oscars.
I'll love that if they win.
I mean,
that'll be great.
Who will they show in the five split screen montage when they're announcing the announcing the winners?
Just a seat, nobody in it.
It'll be Joaquin Phoenix with his beard and glasses on, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we have no idea. Banksy could be, seriously, anyone could. I think there's going to be a bunch of people who are jockeying to crash that Oscar. There are going to be all these people who go up on stage and say, I'm Banksy.
Wow, that'd be cool. That's what they should do. Yeah, they should do it.
All right, final weirdness. You guys kind of touched on it, but yeah, I'm upset. Best director, David O. Russell gets a nomination for The Fighter, which, like I say, it's a film in which he basically did what Darren Aronofsky did with The Wrestler 2 years ago. But Christopher Nolan gets no nomination for Best Director. Yeah. Have you seen Inception? Do you think it directed itself?
Oh, I agree, dude. It's a complete travesty that he was not nominated. I don't get it.
I completely
agree, and that should be number one. That is the number one problem with today's nominations, no question.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, awesome, dude. Thank you for popping by. The top five travesties of the Oscars from a movie fan and a movie nut. can't have it any other way. So we'll see. Let's have a quick vote here. In the three of us here, who do we think is going to take Best Picture? I think I'm not saying it's going to go to the right one. Because if I had to pick, this wouldn't be it. But I think that the Facebookery is getting Best Picture. I think the Social Network's getting it.
That won the Golden Globe for Best Dramas. Big lead for them, right?
Yeah,
now.
I just have a feeling that that's how that's going to go. I want True Grit of this list. And again, I haven't seen a couple of them, so I can't speak to those yet. But I adore True Grit. But I feel like it'll go to Social Network. Ibbot, who do you pick?
You know, it may just be because I'm still kind of riding high on seeing it this last weekend, but The Fighter. And Black Swan, you know, everyone's saying it's a weird movie. It is a very weird movie, but, you know, so is Fight Club.
Yeah.
And it was a very likable, weird movie, and I thought Black Swan was a very likable, weird movie.
All right. Randy, your pick?
I am the fact that Christopher Nolan didn't get nominated for Best Director tells me that the voters are thinking something that I don't expect, so I'm going to say not Inception, and I like the trend where the Oscars steer away from the Golden Globes. Sort of like saying The Social Network is a film for the masses, whereas the Oscars try to give the award for Best Picture to a film that's great, the greatest film of the year. And I would say of these nominees, The Kids Are All Right has no business being in there, even though I loved it. And Toy Story 3 has no business being in there, even though I loved it. And The King's Speech is a great film that I would like to see win. I wish The King's Speech would win.
Well, there you go, folks. Excellent expectations as we move forward to Oscar night, which is when?
February 27th, yeah, I believe. 29th?
Yeah. No. You can bet we'll be talking about it on this show. Huge thanks to Randy for stopping by. Thank you, everybody who called in. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to kind of round things out with what's left on the show. We're running a little over time, but that's okay. We don't care.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
So what was your bid?
I said 2 clubs here.
That's a good bid.
Seems the Tuesday Bridge Club is simply amazed by Pringles' newfangled potato chips.
Now you girls really have something to talk about.
Are there really potato chips in there?
I don't believe this.
I made a new way.
Beautiful! Oh, look at all those chips. They are broken.
Oh, where do you taste them?
Delicious.
Fresh.
Oh, crunchy.
How'd they get all those chips in there?
Oh, they all fit together in a stack. The canister keeps them from getting broken.
Airtight, too.
Must be what keeps them fresh.
Oh, and they stay fresh with this lid.
You'll be simply amazed, too, when you discover Pringles' newfangled potato chips. As many chips as in this big bag. Fresh, unbroken, stacked in a crush-proof, stale-proof canister. Pringles' newfangled potato chips.
Don't let nobody give you no shit. The morning stream is dope, dog.
Oh, Brian, we're winding down day two.
Hey, wait till you taste them.
Oh, they're great, and they're kept fresh because of this lid. You know,
that's the best voice in all those ladies, you know. Ooh, look at the
canister. Wait till you taste them.
What I love about commercials from that era, and even some today, when people talk about products in a natural setting, it gives me just the makes me want to kill somebody. Because it's just like, who would do that? Oh my gosh, look at these chips. Oh, well, it's because they're in this can. Forgive us while we break into our little bridge game or whatever the hell it is we're doing on a Saturday night with all these women. I'm now going to describe Pringles in a way that is clinical and ridiculous.
It's, you know, that conversation in real life would take about 5 seconds. And then they'd be like, did you hear about Mrs. McGillicuddy? She's doing pot.
Oh, the McGillicuddies with their pot.
That's right.
All right, let's move on. Got a couple things to knock out before we get out of here. We do have a segment that we like to call Weird Web. This is weird stuff from around the web that you may or may not be interested in or even may not know exists. And we'd like to bring it to you here. Let's start with this.
Ooh.
That's right, and it must be time for Weird Web. Scott Fletcher says ooh. Huge thanks to Fletcher, by the way, for all his voice stuff. He's the man.
Uh-huh.
I should quit chewing gum on the radio. All right. This is citizen's self-arrest form.
Oh, good.
You know, Brian, you can commit or you can perform a citizen's arrest of anyone. If you see somebody doing something illegal, you can step in and, you know, Ibbot can save the day.
That's right. Yes.
By saving some poor sap.
You would be everybody's hero.
That's right. That's right. You'd be all over the news. Well, as it turns out, if you've done something wrong, if you've committed a crime, it would be extremely helpful and save a lot of tax dollars for you to perform a citizen self-arrest. And we have a website that does just that. It is a form that you fill out. You put in your name, your nickname, your home street address, and all other pertinent information. You take that into a policeman, into a station. This is real. And you hand it over and turn yourself in, saving them paperwork and questioning and everything else that they're going to have to do anyway. You're doing your part to save taxpayers a little bit of money by turning yourself in. Now, I don't know what crime it would be. Like, if you're, I don't know, littering. Like, I just threw that, you know, big gulp cup into the street. Mm-hmm. Where's the form? Let me fill it out. I'm going in. Who in the hell would ever do this?
This is huge, too.
It is huge.
It's
and
like
look at
there's so
info.
Much on here. You got to read, you know, read your rights out loud.
Yes. Like, look at this. Statement/confession. Memorize the following rules. Do not leave your house. If you're not home now, go home immediately. Number 2, put any firearms or other potential weapons out of reach. Number 3, remove your belt and shoelaces. It's awesome.
And just why not just walk yourself into jail? I mean, you know, if you know, they're going to have you do all this work for yourself.
Yep.
That they should be doing for you. There's no, it's funny. There's no, this has everything but a CAPTCHA.
I know. It really does. It says, do not allow yourself any visitors. Number 6, conjugal visits are not permitted. What?
Oh.
In your home arrest that you're doing. Consumption of alcohol or use of any other non-prescription drugs is not permitted. And do not, number 8, do not try to escape from your home. Epic. That's epic. Anyway, ridiculous.
Somebody in the chat room mentioned to look under the plea pop-up menu. You got to read it. It's guilty, not guilty, no contest, or too drunk to pick.
Nice. Anyway, pretty awesome. As either as presented as damn serious or ironic, I don't care. I love this site. And
that's awesome.
That is Web Weird for today, for Tuesday. Moving on to our random Opedia, which is brought to you this today. Oh, by the way, Web Weird is brought to you by AppSlappy, the podcast about apps. Every Tuesday night, join Eric, Scott, and Eileen as they talk about apps and iOS devices at appslappy.com. Yeah, it's a good show. Mm-hmm. If you have an iPhone, I think, you know, I mean, not to toot my own horn,
no,
which I could probably get a self-arrest for.
They have an app for that.
Apparently. Randomopedia today brought to you by Sword and Laser with Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont, also on the Frog Pants Network, talking awesome books in the fantasy and science fiction realm. Listen to them each and every week as they talk about the world of sci-fi and fantasy at swordandlaser.com. Ag almatophilia. It is
not
from
bad.
The Greek agalma, which is statue, and philia, which is love, is a paraphilia concerned with sexual attraction to a statue, doll, mannequin, or similar figurative object. The attraction may include desire for actual sexual contact with the objects, Brian. Mm-hmm. A fantasy of having sexual or non-sexual encounters with the inanimate or animate instances of the preferred objects. The act of watching encounters between the objects themselves. And I will not read that last line because it makes me a little ill to say. Anyway, if you're into statues, the point is it's the statue love thing. So, like, there are people who go to galleries or places and they see a statue and they go, oh, yeah, David with his little wiener.
That's right. Well, there's the whole Japanese pillow, the pillows you can get with the women printed on them.
Mm-hmm.
Big, long pillows.
That's right. That is completely correct. So there you go. A little something you didn't know on our Randopedia segment of the show. We got a call. Let's see who this is. Welcome to the morning stream. Who is this?
Scott. I just have to say I want to call in and you know, throw myself in.
Throw yourself in. As a what? As a dude who likes statues or what?
Well, here we'll fill out the
you know,
fill out the form.
Oh,
the,
you're turning your for the police thing.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Blaylock from New York. Just want to say hello again and excellent show.
Oh, well, thanks, man, and have an awesome day. And if don't leave your house and no conjugal visits.
No, I gotta stay warm over here. It's pretty damn cold over here.
That's right. I'll see you later. Thank you for the call. Let's move on to mailbag. We got an email from Luke Wessels. Who says grumble grumble?
Wessels.
He says, "Yeah, like yeah, that's a good point."
Check out.
We are looking for that's Chinese. Grumble grumble. I just realized it was 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, and not the other way around. I'm freaking going back to bed. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate the.
I hope he got up the right time for this one.
I hope so as well. Got another one from Jeff Bean, who says, congrats to Scott and Brian in the booth on the new show. I just finished listening and thought it was great. I can't wait to hear the show every morning. I am a painter in Southern California, and I start work at 7 Pacific. I love all your podcasts, and I'm so happy to have a good morning show to start the day with. See you guys tomorrow. Jeff, if you're listening. Oh, he says break a leg, which, aww. If I didn't know that was just sort of a saying, I'd be really offended by that. He's listening now, I'm guessing. He's probably painting right now.
That's right. You don't want to say break a leg to a painter, right?
No.
And you're not supposed to say it to somebody going on stage either. Oh, no, are you? That's right. You're not supposed to say good luck
No, right.
to somebody going on stage. You are supposed to say break a leg.
You say break a leg because they'll never break a leg unless they're in that new Spider-Man thing in Broadway.
That's right.
And then they will break their leg every night.
Somebody apparently said good luck.
Yeah, someone said good luck. Good luck, Peter Parker. Don't. That was it. That's it. For mailbag. Thank you guys for sending in your emails. You can continue to do that. Audio stuff is fine too. themorningstream@gmail.com. Of course, our phone number here, even in off hours, takes your voicemails. That's 801-770-4244. You're welcome to leave those as well. And visit the site, frogpants.com/TMS. That's for The Morning Show, TMS. frogpants.com/TMS. Thanks again to GnomeWise for making that stream possible. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/extralife for me. Coverville for Brian. Don't put the F in there. The F is silent.
That's right. Buying that domain right now.
That is kind of the business for the day. And I think that's going to do it for another episode. We, of course, will be here again tomorrow, Wednesday, third day, and Thursday. Don't forget Therapy Thursdays with Wendy Dunford on Thursday. That's going to be a great segment around 9 o'clock Mountain. So that's about an hour into the show is where we plan on doing that.
Big thanks to MapHook, by the way.
Oh, MapHook. Yeah, I cannot forget to. Oh, okay. I want to reiterate what's going on with MapHook. So,
yeah,
the entire episode brought to you by MapHook. Sign up and win. Basically, sign up for a MapHook account if you already have. That's fine too. And create some hooks. That's take pictures of the place you're in. If you're at a coffee shop, take some shots, leave some notes, post the thing up there, create a hook. And they are going to be picking one random hook, not random, but I guess just any old hook. So, do a good one every day. And they'll email you with the, or if you win, they'll email you with a the winnings of getting any print in the Frog Pants store, which is actually down this morning, so I got to fix that. But anyway, you get to pick whatever you want. We can even do it manually, but be a signed print from me, your choice of which one, and they'll send that out to you for free. And at the end of this week, you all winners will be eligible for a $60 giveaway to put toward whatever you want. I recommend Little Big Planet 2, personally, because it's kind of awesome. So very much looking forward to working more with them, and we'll do that again tomorrow. What else? Anything else I'm missing, Brian? You got anything you want to part with, say, at the end here from the booth?
You know, I haven't thought of anything, but I will have something. I'll have a...
I'll give you a Slim Jim later. We'll slip it under the door.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Yeah. And I don't mean the kind that unlocks it.
Because I'm starving.
The one you can snap into. Okay, that's going to do it for us. We're going to go out of here with yet another song. We did that yesterday. We'll do it again here today. This is a mashup that I really like. It is Nirvana versus the Jackson 5. If that sounds crazy, you'd be right. It's called Smells Like Rockin' Robin. And nice. We'll leave you with this. And until tomorrow, everyone have a great day, and we'll see you then.
Bye, everybody.
I'm supposed to play this at the end. Hold on a second. It's this right here.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.